let's do it. I am Jeff K. This is The Jeff K. Show. We're broadcasting once again from deep, deep underneath a nondescript home in suburban Pennsylvania. Thank you guys for tuning in. Thanks for finding us. Thanks for listening. It is greatly appreciated. You know, I think I might have made a tactical error. I think I might have painted myself into a beer corner, if you can believe it. There's this store that I stop at sometimes, you know, often. if you want to know the truth, often I stop there. And it's a beer store, you know. They sell many different kinds of, you know, craft beers and or regular beers, whatever. They have a lot of beer in a cooler, gigantic, massive wall of coolers, you know. And they're open till midnight, which is great because sometimes I don't get off work till 10:30 or so. So I stop in there, you know, especially on Thursdays and Fridays near the end of the week when the beer is necessary, you know, when it is needed, you know. So you know, I'm a regular there, and there's a woman who sometimes is working, and she has this air of authority about her, so I assume she's in charge, you know. I don't know that to be a fact, but I think she is. And she, you know, I'm friendly with her, you know. And a while back, a few months ago, they did some kind of reset where they, you know, took out, they changed the selection of beer that they had in the coolers, you know, and took some stuff out, put some other stuff in, you know. And that, you know, that never works out to my benefit, you know. Generally, the stuff they put in is like swill, like fruit-flavored crap, you know. No, but, you know, or ciders. Do people really drink that? Good God. Anyway, so there's this one of my favorites is this four-pack of Bell's Two Hearted Ale, is what it's called, Bell's Brewing. I think they're out of Kalamazoo, Michigan. They're definitely from Michigan, but I don't know about the Kalamazoo part. But I think that's where they're from. And anyway, they make their most famous beer is called Two Hearted Ale, and it's delicious. It's like one of the best. And they have this four 16-ounce cans for $9.29. That's a deal, man. Those things are great, you know. The six packs, which is only a few, if you do the mathematics on that shit, you know, it's only a few ounces more, and it costs something like $13.99, you know. So that's the four packs are a deal. So you know, they yanked those things out during the reset. You can still buy them hot, but you know, room temperature, that doesn't work for me, because I'm not planning ahead on this stuff, you know. If I'm buying it, it's going to be consumed within minutes, you know, of said purchase. So I just mentioned it casually one night, and I said, how come you guys took the four packs of Two Hearted out of there? And she goes, well, the six packs are there. And I said, yeah, but that doesn't work for me, you know. I started to explain it to her, and she goes, well, you know, I'll see what I can do. I mean, we have a planogram, you know, corporate decides what goes in the cooler and what goes on the shelves and stuff. And I said, yeah, I know how that works. You know, people think that the local stores make these decisions, but that's not, you know. These corporations are fighting over shelf space, you know. And there's financial considerations, co-op advertising, et cetera, et cetera. So I understand how that works. The local stores have 0 to maybe 1% say in the whatever actually goes inside the cooler. But she said, you know, I'll see what I can do. You know, I've been, you know, I have everything in there that they want me to have in there. But, you know, I'm moving things around, squeezing a few extra things in. I said, hell yeah. She's going rogue on the planogram. I like that. Anybody that goes rogue on a planogram has my full endorsement. One of the ways she was doing it is instead of having like 12 packs facing out, she has them on the side so the ends are facing out, you know what I mean? So then you can squeeze extra shit in there. So I said, good, that'd be great, you know. I didn't actually think she'd follow through. I mean, nobody ever follows through. I mean, proclamations are made, promises are made on a daily basis. Very few of them are actually followed through on, you know. So I just said, that'd be cool, you know. So, but the thing about it is, next time I went in there, she goes, I did it, as soon as I walked through the door. I told you I'd do it. She had that. She had the four packs back in the cooler, you know. She maneuvered something. And I was like, all right. I was excited, you know. I couldn't believe that she actually went through with it. So so I bought it. And then, but then, you know, painted, I didn't think this thing through. I painted myself in a corner. I didn't, it's the law of unintended consequences, you know. Now I'm in a situation where if she's working, I got to buy that Bells. I don't have any freedom. I've given up all my freedom in exchange for her going rogue on the planogram, you know, which is more important, you know, in the grand scheme of things. I'd say the freedom, right? So I didn't think this thing through. If she's working in there, I feel obligated now since she went to all this trouble, putting her job on the line. I don't know if that's true or not, but, you know, so now I don't have any freedom if she's there. This went on. This was bothering me. So one time I went in there, this is maybe like a month after she put the thing in, and I decided I'm going to break the cycle. You know, I gotta set a precedent here and just buy something else just to show her that, you know, I can buy other beers, you know, and everything. So I went in there and I bought something else and went up there to pay. And she said, you know, oh, I thought, so you don't like the Bells anymore? It's like, oh, no, you know, I like the Bells. It's just, you know, I like a lot of beers. You know, I'm not locked into one. I mean, you know. You know, I certainly appreciate you, you know, putting the Bells in there. I mean, I really am. But tonight I just decided to go on a date. Well, that's fine. No, I understand. $11.99. That might be an over-exaggeration, but you could tell she wasn't very happy about it. Hurt. She was hurt. She was wounded, you know. So now I can't do it, you know. If she's in the building or if she's over there puttering around, I gotta buy the Bells Two Hearted four pack. I don't have any choice. So I don't know. I don't like that. Every once in a while, I go in there and there's some guy with a 5 o'clock shadow. He's a curmudgeonly bastard. He couldn't give two shits what I buy, what I don't buy. And I like that, you know. I appreciate that in a worker, you know. You know, I don't give two. I couldn't care less if you come in here, if you don't come in here. I don't care if you buy Busch Ice or you know, Dogfish Head. Who gives a shit, you know? I'm barely hanging on, man. You know, I like that. You know, that's what I'm looking for in a cashier. This lady, she's great, and I appreciate her efforts, but and it's my fault, you know. I mean, I don't blame her. I blame myself. I should have been able to see the future. So don't do it. If you're ever in that situation, don't do it, because you give up all your freedom, you know. So also another thing that's happened this week that is disturbing to me. I was in a store somewhere. And I don't know where, I can't remember what it was. Maybe it was like a dollar store. I think I was at a dollar store. I was buying something and dropped a dime on the floor. And I looked at it and I thought, is it really worth all the effort to bend all the way over and pick that thing up? You know, kind of fat, you know. Any number of things could happen. I could, like, blow the full ass out of my pants, or just like fart, you know, real loud, you know, or the crack of my ass comes shooting out of the top of my jeans, you know, my shirt pulls up because I'm swaddling hog, you know. So I bend over, you know, my shirt goes up, crack jumps out like a crack in the box, You know, you know what I'm saying? So I was thinking, eh, hell with it, you know. I ended up picking it up, but it was touch and go. If it had been a nickel, I probably would have just walked away, you know. So I guess I'm very near. I'm nickel fat at this point, but I'm very close to transitioning over to dime fat, you know. That's not good. I mean, there's no, you can't paint that in a positive light, you know, in any way, you know. 10 years, if I'm still alive in 10 years, you know, what I mean is, like, it's going to be paper money, you know. Ah, it's just $27, you know. Hell with it. I can't, I don't want to bend all the way over, you know. So anyway, that just disturbed me. I mean, nickels, I'd walk away from, but now I'm thinking about doing, you know, I'm considering the dime, you know. So, I don't know, that bothers me. And that leads me into a nickel story. I mean, we all have many nickel stories. I have lots and lots of nickel stories. This is my favorite, though. This is easily my favorite nickel story of them all. This happened when I was working at the grocery store in West Virginia, a place called Fast Check. It was in Dunbar, West Virginia. Great place, garden spot of the Appalachians. And so anyway, I was like 19, 20 years old, I don't know, somewhere in that neighborhood. And this woman, a large African-American woman, she wasn't fat, she was just really big, like a linebacker. She comes in there and she fills her shopping cart up, you know, heaping, you know, a foot above the rim. And she bypasses the checkouts and she goes over and puts something in the windowsill of the front of the store and then just leaves. She just walks out, you know. So one of the managers, a guy named Skeeter, he's sitting up in that, you know, that elevated eagle's nest. You know, that grocery store, that elevated office for the managers. Why are they always raised up like that? I guess so they can see out, you know. So anyway, he's sitting up there. He's got an eye on this woman because she's acting kind of weird. And he sees what happened. And he goes running. He goes out there and he corrals her back into the store. And the woman's all agitated, you know. He's like, what is going on? You know, what? And she kept saying, she goes, I put a nickel in the windowsill. That's my kumquat money. I'm like, what the? The hell does that mean? You know, so there's like, you know, tensions are high. They're inside the store. They're right inside the store. And Skeeter eventually just says, somebody call the police, get the cops down here, you know. And when he did that, this woman went wild. And he came up behind Skeeter, or she came up behind Skeeter and got him in a bear hug from behind and, like, lifted him off the ground and started swinging him around and around while screaming like a banshee. I mean, she was, like, screaming, making this high-pitched shriek. His feet are, like, going around like he's riding a bicycle, like an invisible bicycle. She's got him completely off the ground, spinning around in circles, shrieking at the top of her lungs. And we're all standing around watching this thing like, you know, this is quite possibly the greatest thing we'd ever seen in our lives, you know. So the cops are there, you know, within seconds, it seems like. And, you know, she lets loose a Skeeter. He's over there acting all pissed off. He's got this, you know, he's rounding his shoulders up, you know. So the cops come and they say, ma'am, what's your name? And she won't answer them, you know. And they keep asking her. They said, we're going to need your name. And she goes, my name is Secretariat. Like, what the hell is this? So anyway, they take her away. I don't know if they arrested her. I don't know what happened. Something was wrong with her. She was like, she had mental problems, clearly. She put a nickel in the windowsill of the store, said it was her kumquat money, which I don't know what the hell that is. And then she spun Skeeter round and round and round, and then told the cops her name was Secretariat. And so they took her away to the Wacky Shack, I guess. I don't know. I'm not clear on it. But I was telling my grandmother that story later that same day. And she goes, oh, that's kumquat money is an old country, like, you know, it's a country saying for buying something on credit. I said, what? Why kumquat? I don't understand. I don't understand the phraseology, you know. So, but that's what she said. I've done internet searches on that, and I can't find anything on it. And have you ever heard of this phrase, kumquat money? I'm unfamiliar. It's the only time I've ever heard it in my life. That was great. That's my favorite nickel story, right? She put it in the windowsill. There's something was wrong with her. You know, the best part about the whole thing was Skeeter being spun around. That was fantastic. And speaking of blasting ass, before I move on to the, you know, I said I might blow the ass out of my pants. I've done that many, many times. You know, I'm a stout man. Yeah, I bend over, just blow the whole ass out of my jeans, you know. And sometimes I, you know, I take them off and I'm holding them up just trying to, you know, examine the damage, the massive catastrophic denim damage that I've done. And sometimes there's like a panel, not a large panel, but maybe like a pack of cigarette sized panel of denim just gone. It's like after I blow the ass out of a pair of jeans, there's like a section of denim just gone. How's that happen? Can anybody explain that to me? Where's it go? What happened to it? So anyway, talking about, I said I might, if I bend over to pick up that dime or nickel or whatever, I might, you know, blast a fart, you know, in the middle of the dollar store. Here's another story from the old days, which you might enjoy. I've told this at the website many times, but I don't think I've told it here yet. Many years ago, I was dating a woman. We were in the early days, maybe like 2 months in of our relationship, but things were going well. It seemed like there was a long future ahead of us. And she invited me to go with her and her parents to Charleston, South Carolina. Her parents, I guess, they had a friend who lived on an island off of the coast of Charleston. And they went down there and visited her a couple times a year. They asked me to tag along. And I was like, I don't know about that. This is kind of early in the relationship. And I didn't really know her parents. I'm socially awkward at best, you know. So I don't know. I ended up going, of course. So we went down there. We went to this woman's house. And we walked in. And the whole house is carpeted in snow white carpet. I don't think the kitchen had any kind of carpet in it, but the rest of the house is just this bright white, like so bright that it would like hurt your eyes almost. I've never seen anything like this throughout the entire house. Who would choose such a color, you know? So automatically I thought, I'm going to do something here. I'm going to like track in like railroad grease, you know, or spill something on this. The whole thing just like made me nervous. I could just see me doing something to cause some kind of problem because I'm an idiot, you know. So I was like nervous. I walked in this place. I'm going to take my shoes off every time, you know. And so it's a house filled with white carpet. And in the kitchen, is where everybody hung out. There was a large amount of alcohol being consumed during this visit, and there was a table in there in the kitchen, and everybody just sat around this table drinking and talking and yucking it up, you know. And the only bathroom that I knew of was right there. It was literally feet from that table. And there was like a hollow corridor. That was the only thing. There was no barrier, you know, like Costanza says, you need like some kind of like a barrier. And so I didn't like that either. I was like, how am I going to, you know, I wouldn't even want to go in there and do a stand-up routine. I sure as heck can't go in there and sit down. I mean, not with people sitting like feet away, you know, through a door that's hollow. So I can't, I was like, oh my God. So they put me and my girlfriend who, you know, the parents are there. They put us in the same bed, you know, you guys share a bed, you know, like that's something my parents would have never done, by the way. But, so, you know, we're still early days. This is the early days of a relationship. So what am I supposed to do? Get up in the middle of the night and go in there while everybody else is like asleep and, you know, have a sit down, you know? So it was a terrible, the logistics of this crazy white carpet house, you know, what am I going to do? I'm going to be there for days, you know? So, I did the absolute worst thing you could do. I just tried to ride it out. I thought I could ride it out for like 4 days in a row. You know, I thought maybe I could do that. And because there's always people sitting right on the other side of that door. So that was a deal breaker for me. So so it was fine for maybe like a day and a half. And then I didn't feel too good, you know. I was starting to get all bloated up. You know, I felt like I was like the Michelin man, you know, it was no good. I felt uncomfortable, at all times. So, but you know, I didn't have any choice. What am I going to do? So then my girlfriend and I were out in her car and we went somewhere where we were parked. We had some beer, I think. We were parked and overlooking the ocean, and it was like a really pretty view and everything. There's nobody around, you know. And one thing led to another. We start, making out a little bit in the, in the car there, overlooking the Atlantic. Very beautiful, beautiful spot. And so there's maneuvering. I'm maneuvering around. There's like, And then I made a move that, so I don't know what happened, but so some seal was broken and there was a loud, prolonged fart that seemingly went on forever. I mean, it sounded like, you know, a tugboat was coming in, like maybe some kind of like cruise ship was coming into the harbor. It was loud and very, very lengthy. And I had this look of horror on my face. I mean, it was like unbelievable. I mean, I don't think I was completely mortified. And thankfully, she buckled over in laughter, and we laughed and laughed and laughed. That's why we were together for 3 years. She had a good sense of humor about stuff like that. But it could have gone... if she hadn't had a good sense of humor about it, it could have been the worst. It still wasn't good, you know? And she goes, I told her the whole story, and she goes, there's a bathroom out in the garage, you know, just slip out there, take care of business. You can't hold it for 4 days. Are you an idiot or something? So we went back to the house. And I said, I don't know if I said anything. I just kind of slipped away. Everybody's drinking and yucking it up in there. So I just slipped away, went, found that bathroom out in the garage, found sweet relief. So that was awesome. So, I mean, it was crazy. So, so I didn't want that to happen when I picked up that dime, you know? So, what else I have in my notebook here? I don't know. I can't see. It's dark in here. Let me put this thing on hold for just a second. Hang on a second. All right. There's nothing else listed here we're talking about. I'm going to wind this thing down. I'll do the, this is kind of lame, but this really irritates me to no end. This is going to be the whistle dick of the week. You know what irritates me is when somebody says, you know, when you say, especially at work, but it doesn't have to be at work. It can be anywhere. So how you doing today? And the guy and the person says, I'm here. Oh man, that's good stuff. That's original. It's very upbeat, very positive. It's a very positive approach to life. And it's very original too. I've never heard anybody say that before. I'm here. Oh, good. Good stuff. Very well done. You are the undisputed whistle dick of the week. Whew. Shoo. Pew, pew, pew. All right. If you want two of these a week, two Jeff K shows a week instead of just one, and, I mean, how could you not? I mean, seriously. Just, you know, that's a possibility. It's within the realm of possibility. Just head on over to patreon.com. That's patreon.com/Jeff K. Sign up for a $4 or more patronage. That's a monthly donation. Set it up on a credit card, $4. $4. Ah, put it on a credit card. Comes out at the first of every month. And in exchange for that, you will get the Thursday show. Every week I do a Thursday show. It's just like the Monday show. It's just an additional show every week that only patrons have access to. We have a lot of fun on that day. Actually, was I supposed to do Whistle Dick of the Week on Thursday? God, I don't even know what I'm doing. Anyway, the Thursday shows are 30 minutes, just like these Monday shows. They're only available to patrons. So if you want to be a patron and hear the Thursday shows, I would be super appreciative. It's a big deal for me. It's $4 for you. It's a big deal for me. It's over at patreon.com/Jeff K. That's patreon.com/Jeff K. Do it today and you'll gain instant access to all the old shows. And you'll have access to the new shows as they're released. Thank you guys for listening. I certainly appreciate it. Hope you had a good time. I did. And I will see you on Thursday. Have a good one. Bye.